Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
We're warmed up, getting right into it. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Criminal Mischief Nation, to another bonus episode of Criminal Mischief with Carolyn and Brandon. I'm Brandon. Here, as always.
He's got a heavy breath coming in hot.
Great, Carolyn Osorio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
A little nervous.
Why is that?
You see this scar?
Mm-hmm.
So I was in this wicked bad car accident in 2017, and I needed to... I have this titanium cervical spine, right?
And so why is it on your neck?
Because they go in through the front.
Oh.
So you're going through the front. This became like the size of like, it opened up to like the size of like a tennis ball. They put my voice box over this way and my carotid artery over this way and expose my spinal column. And then they do all the work. But every now and then I get in my head that I can feel the titanium part of my spine on my voice box. And I get all nervous that something's wrong. And that's how it feels. It's just because I've been talking a lot. Like, I know what it is, but I still, you know, it still bothers me.
Did your voice change?
Got sexier, yeah, if that's possible. No, it didn't. It was bad when I woke up, when I got out of the surgery, the first, because I was still intubated and stuff.
Your voice just went down two knots.
I sounded like...
Trying to sound as sexy as possible.
No, don't have to try. No, and I sounded like Vin Diesel. When I got extubated, and my brother was there, and he just had me saying lines from Fast and Furious, and it was great, and it's all on video, and I was still all doped up. It's one of my favorite movies. But no, it didn't change my voice. I still sing like a sparrow, and you know, and I have a golden throated vocal. No, my voice sucks. I can't sing a note. But no, my voice is fine. It's just weird when you have, you know, something in your body that isn't yours. You know, it's a weird feeling.
I am the robot.
Yeah, that's how it feels. My neck is going to outlive like everybody, humanity. It'll still be a functioning cervical spine.
It's like twirling around. Is that what you think? That it's like coming around?
No, I feel like maybe one of them broke loose and like... It like nudged forward a little bit, mm-hmm. But that's not a thing that happens with these surgeries. I'm just, you know.
No, I mean, I have now we're going to lose everybody because I've got a C-section story.
Woo!
I know, right? I literally, no, this is like the more you know. So yeah. It was the fourth pregnancy. The first three were regular vaginal deliveries, the fourth one. And I thought I was just like, hey, this ain't nothing but a G thing. I got this, yeah. You know? I was running around, picking stuff up with my feet, but bending. You're not supposed to bend over, mm-hmm. You know? You're not supposed to do that stuff, right? So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I feel this. I sit down and I feel this. And... the seam opened.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh.
And I looked down and I was like, it was
here's
the
problem.
I was like, what is happening?
So you went to the hospital and they fixed you.
No, don't cut short my story.
I want to make sure that you acknowledged it right away and said, this is bad. I need to do something.
Pa?
Okay.
Here, I got to get to you first. Of course. No, I just like,
okay.
Oh my gosh. In fact, it was funny because when we were driving to the hospital, it was like a yellow light and my husband stopped and I kind of looked at him. I'm like, anyway, it's just, I thought I was dying, but apparently this happens. And, you know, they had to go back in there and it sucked. Yeah. Wow. So I get the thinking of like, cause now like, I don't like doing sit-ups. I mean, I really don't, cause I'm worried, you know?
I agree.
It's not a normal thing.
In certain weather events, when I turn my head like this, I hear it going, and that's unsettling. I'll be honest. It's unsettling. But compared to how it was before, it's a million times better. Like I couldn't, the accident was awful and I did everything I could to avoid surgery and I had zero quality of life. And, I woke up fixed. Like I woke up fixed, which I didn't think was possible, but it's been 5 years, 6 years. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, let's get to Aspen.
Yeah.
All I think about is Dumb and Dumber when I think about Aspen.
Yeah. Movie. Hold on a second.
Got a little nippy coming through the pass.
Oh my gosh. I love that scene.
Me too.
I love that scene.
So, have you been to Aspen?
I haven't.
Okay.
No. Have you been?
I have. Mm-hmm. I have some extended family that had pretty deep roots in Aspen, not like blood uncles, but like uncles, you know, that ran a bar there for a long time. And, and I'd visit when I was a younger man and just the drive from Aspen to a place called Leadville, over Independence Pass is terrifying and beautiful. And you go over the Continental Divide when you're there and it's incredible. And the city, it's the little town of Aspen is great. And you mentioned Hunter Thompson in the episode. And, you know, he ran for sheriff of Aspen.
You know what? I had to stop myself from putting that detail in there.
And he almost won. He was like fewer than like something like 10 votes that he lost by. And you know what platform he ran on? Hmm. One of the main things. He said he was going to dynamite the streets of downtown Aspen and turn it back into dirt roads because progress is bad. He wanted to protect Aspen from becoming what it's become. Mm-hmm. The rich person's paradise, you know?
Well, and it's interesting that he was buddies with Nancy Pfister because her dad really started it all, you know? Yeah. So,
yeah. There's a great book about Aspen that I read that chronicled like when Hunter Thompson arrived there, John Denver being there, Jimmy Buffett, like when it really became the playground for the rich and famous. And it was a great book. And now my brother-in-law's family, his mother remarried late in life and her new husband has a place in Aspen that apparently is just gorgeous. I've never been invited. I don't think he likes me, but, really, really nice. And so, yes, it is, there's a lot of money up there. There's a lot of big social scene, you know, like that kind of in a smaller way rivals like the socialites, you know, in like New York, because a lot of from New York, they go to Aspen, you know, and but it's also evolved into a cool kind of family for like there's a little skate park there. There's, you know, a lot of stuff for kids to do. The summer is great with hiking and mountain biking and all that. In the winter, God, the skiing is just off the charts. But so I didn't know about this story, which is great. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about it. So let's get into it. So Nancy Pfister.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, learning about her parents was really interesting. The mom who was like this awesome, badass woman. And she also had a helicopter that was like bright orange and red and she named it Tinkerbell. So just growing up with these really adventurous, you know, mom and dad, and just sounds like she had the,
rich, super rich. She had a farm. He turned it into a ski resort.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you fucking do in Colorado, right? Great. So smart. Take the risk. Huge rewards. So my question for you is, where'd all that money go? Where she feels the need to rent out her house for money to survive?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, what I didn't include in there was that she had I guess she was the recipient of a large life insurance policy of her mom's, and then I'm sure something with her dad too. So she would get, you know, checks, you know, deposited into her account, and then like around November 15th, so before she left, she had like $600,000 deposited into her account. And she apparently was going to buy some property And then that deal went through. So it's not like she was, it sounds like she wasn't hard up for money, but then it kind of seems like she was.
It does. It does seem like she was, because why go through all of that hassle?
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Why you not? Know, I mean, to the point where you love your dog, you love your house, that kind of money, you pay someone to stay there.
Right.
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 You don't need the extra few grand a month that the rent will generate. So that was interesting. So, excuse me, irrespective of a life insurance policy, like there wasn't a trust or like an inheritance, a lump sum, like when people died?
I mean, I think that it sounds like it was, you know, there was a trustee involved with the, with her getting this money, the trustee, which was her cousin, I guess, had to approve things. I don't know what the financial situation was, but I was thinking the same thing too. It's like when you have a lot of money, you would pay, you know, your personal assistant, Kathy, to live in the house and take care of it for you. You don't rent it out. But I mean, I don't know. I think that she saw this couple as appearing to be, you know, he was a doctor, you know, they knew how to talk, what to say. And they were like on the edge of a financial, you know, precipice. Yeah. So she had no idea.
ALS, very debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to a deal. She leaves for Australia.
Yep.
And then they immediately.
I mean, first she, but you know, I'm sure you've had those things where you meet people and you just are like, oh my gosh, I love him. We're going to be besties. And you just get along so great. You're shaking your head. No, you're not.
Not really a people guy.
Okay, but you know what? You are. Don't even like. Everybody knows you're just full of it. Okay, so let's not even do this.
Sure, you meet someone, you're like, I get it. I know you. I don't know you, but I know you.
Is talk in a Jersey accent, and you'd be like, brother.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Okay, so it's springtime. The other day I'm jogging. I love seeing the flowers and the trees starting to bloom. I'm breathing in and out. The fresh air is amazing. And then suddenly, out on the open road, I feel like I'm running through a gauntlet of pollen. You know those little white floaty things? As a lifelong allergy sufferer, I know what inhaling that means. And by the time I'm home, I'm suffering, sneezing, nose running and itchy, and my voice sounds like I'm in a submarine. But hey, I know I won't be miserable for long, because the second I step through the door, I'm grabbing my Astapro and a puff in each nostril. And in no time, I'm back to being me again. The moral of the story here is I'm outside every day, and now that it's springtime, I'm making sure to bring my Astapro along with me, because I don't have time for an allergy attack that's going to take me out for hours. Which is why every time my nasal allergies flare up, I know Astapro has my back and my nose. Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. And Astapro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. That's Astapro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Okay. It would be so easy to play you. Okay. Okay.
Everyone else has the accent.
It would be so easy to play you. Okay. Like play you, like if I was a grifter and I wanted to. But I can't do accents. So
You've done a lot of acting in this show over the years. You know what? Great accents. Great accents.
Stop. Now you're just getting me back.
No, I'm serious. So okay, she meets these people. They have a connection where she feels like she can trust them, like right away. I get it.
She does. Okay. But before she leaves, that's when, you know, she's walking around naked and
Why? I get it. It's your house. When you're alone, sure. But you got people there, like, hey, you're gonna rent my house. So you still do, isn't it the ultimate power trip?
I mean, I can see guys doing this all day long. Like, guys have been doing this. There's a lot of weird guys out there. Okay, you know that. But for her to be like, hey, this is my place.
Yeah, I didn't. That was strange for me.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of tension there, but they smoothed it
over. And she started treating them like servants.
Right.
Which she might not be able to avoid given her upbringing. She's used to people doing shit for her, right? That would piss me off. I get it. But they're like, all right, it's a cool house. It's a good opportunity.
Here's the thing, too. I just have to interject this. Is that they were used to being, you know, upper crust themselves. How frustrating, adding butter to a situation when you're like, now, not only are you going through all these financial hardships, but you should be considered an equal, but now you're looked upon as the help, basically.
Yeah.
That rubbed them immediately the wrong way. You could see these two women like starting to battle. You know what I mean?
Sure, I get it. But also at the end of the day, there's a pecking order there, right? Like Pfister was the owner of the house. She could set the terms, you know, and they agreed to it. They stopped paying. What do they expect?
Of course, but I'm talking about the emotional and social dynamic that happened before the money situation happened. Right.
Yes. So they had every opportunity to say, this isn't cool. I don't like this woman. I don't like she's treating me. And you leave, but they decided to stay. For the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you play ball. And they didn't. And they didn't like how Nancy took care of herself when she got back. She laid down the law. She drew the fucking line. You get your stuff back when you pay what you owe. I don't blame her for that. I don't blame her one bit for that.
Not at all. I don't either. I mean,
What I missed... Totally missed. Maybe I am an easy mark. I love that
I planted that seed that you do not like to see yourself as a mark.
Okay. I could be honest with myself because I thought that 911 call was legit. I would have believed that all day long. And she was full of shit. And she was so committed to her role. Okay, this was like a Carolyn Osorio level performance. Okay, she was so committed to her role that she let them take her to the hospital and took a sedative that she didn't need because she was faking it the whole time.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure she's been practicing. She's been practicing for that role for a long time, 7 years.
My friend. Yeah, that was. I'm telling you, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what did you think of what do you think happened between them? What do you think happened?
Oh, I think it was just a different and much more obviously serious and aggressive manifestation of what the other Nancy was dealing with. Like, she's treating us like the help. She's treating us bad. I think the assistant... probably like a lot of assistants do, just got shit on for a long time, you know, and then found an echo chamber with these other two people, like how terrible this woman is, right? Hey, if you're in, I'm in. One of them had to break the murder ice. Why don't we kill this bitch? And the other one said, fuck, I was about to say the same shit. Let's do it. Okay. And they worked it out. And the assistant's like, I have the key. And the other one's like, oh, I've got a hammer and we could do this. And we got a motel with a fucking dumpster there and we could get rid of shit. All bad decisions, obviously, stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. But I think it was just one of them kind of broke the ice and they all went along with it. And they had a common enemy and they were dumb enough to think that they could get away with it. And then they made a lot of really shitty decisions trying to cover their tracks.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I just have to say, obviously, Kathy Carpenter vehemently denies that she had anything
allegedly
to do with it.
Sorry, did I say, I didn't say allegedly, sorry.
Okay, so let's just say that, let's just say that, because I think that they were in it together.
Allegedly, okay.
Like, that was a long pull.
Yeah, did I say that enough? Allegedly, okay.
That was like you, yeah. You used your lip with that quite a bit. Okay, so I think that they were in on it together, allegedly. And I think that the two, Kathy was the one that was putting the stuff in the dumpster. And Kathy was the one that was putting the key by the door, you know, because, you know, right away after during her 911 call, she's like, she was fighting with the neighbors, with the roommates. And you know what I mean? Which is really hardcore, because that if that was the script, you know, she went off script real quick. Right.
So we're supposed to think that ALS guy with toothpick legs was able to do the whole thing, right? And like flip the fucking mattress over and wrap up a body and drag a body into the closet. Okay, sure.
I know that's what the police said. But what were they going to do? There was no evidence connecting the women, and they'd all been in the house. So
unless Kathy has fucking x-ray vision and can see through the sheets to know what was there, right? She couldn't have known that.
Right.
What's her answer for that? Figured it out. No, you did it. Allegedly. So I mean, yes, all circumstantial evidence, but isn't all evidence circumstantial except for physical evidence? So it's.
But in a court of law, you have to be able to prove, and this is where I definitely agree that you have to, we know there's so many people rotting in jail right now because, you know, some prosecutor was just all crazy and they, you know, had circumstantial evidence and was able to put somebody away, and there's no physical evidence tying them to this case, to this murder. You've got to have that physical connection, in my opinion. I mean, I feel like, you know, what is that Benjamin Franklin saying where it's like one, you know, 99 men in prison is, or women, people in prison. I don't know what the saying is, but it's true. Like, you can't, one person going to jail when they didn't do it, you got to have these really strong cases. And until you have it, you really can't, what? You don't agree?
I reluctantly agree. Yes.
I get it. It's not fair, but you got to think of yourself being that's being you know, I mean,
yes.
And I'm sure that's the place that they had arrived to, because they had all cohabitated in the house. So any DNA could be explained away, you know, the fingerprint or whatever.
What you can't explain away is how she described the crime scene without being able to see the crime scene. She described the body without being able to.
You could say that she was hysterical, that I think she did say that the plastic, some of the plastic bags were white, and so she could see through it. And they were like, no, I mean, I think that, you know, you have to look at what's reasonable, right? Yeah. And they didn't have enough, or else they would have charged her. They took the deal.
I think they were close to having enough. And I think what happened is, unfortunately, for a lot of these ALS cases, there isn't a cure. Okay. So this guy sees his end pretty quick and tells the girls, you know what? I'll take the fall.
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Knowing that they were as complicit as he was, and he keeps his mouth shut because he could, you know, and he's like, I'll take all the blame. You guys go live your lives.
Well,
we did a murder and you got to live with it. Yeah.
It feels like he was ready to take his own life, like days leading up to it. Like,
he's telling everybody, I'm going to kill myself. He tells everybody on the fucking street, he tells the Starbucks guy, I think I'm going to kill myself. Dude,
I mean, that whole thing with the jewelers.
Talk to someone that isn't running a fucking pawn shop about how bad you're feeling about yourself. Like, call a hotline. You know what I mean?
But I mean, not to feel bad for him, and I don't. But like, if you think about, you know, him being about him being a successful doctor. Then he gets this horrible diagnosis. Like everything just falls apart. Two lawsuits that didn't go his way. Just like the pounding, like all that pressure. And then, you know, you can't even pawn a 3-carat or 5-carat ring. You know, they're probably offering him like $5 and you're just like at your end, you know? And it's like, he took it out on Nancy.
He damn right he took it out. He took out what he took out was a hammer.
Yeah. And then, so he ends up committing suicide, as I said. And then his wife ends up, they had this like old school policy where you could.
Suicide pays off? Because I was going to ask that. Normally these life insurance policies don't pay off for suicide.
It was like, got it right under the wire before that changed. And so she
grandfathered
was like,
into a suicide policy. Right.
So she was going to cash that check and she filed for bankruptcy. So she was going to pay $150,000 of it to get her creditors to go away. And she was ready to take that to the bank. Well, then the daughter of Nancy Pfister sues her and they settled for an undisclosed amount.
Yeah, but probably under some Son of Sam laws.
Yeah. I mean, she had to pay.
But I mean, what was interesting was that he didn't know she was sleeping or something and thought that she was ignoring him and that threw him into a rage.
Yeah, because she had her
shake her before you use a hammer to see if she's awake.
I mean, I don't know if he just said that just to have something to say. I mean, I feel like he didn't need to be pushed.
Then it wouldn't find premeditated. Then he could plead crime of passion, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's and I mean, it's like, okay, did you already have the hammer before you realized that she was?
Did you show up wearing a tool belt because you were doing some around the house fixes?
Is your Brandon
on your twig legs? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure thing, bud. Asshole.
It just goes to show that you have these plans. Like I'm sure Nancy was like, "Yeah, I'm going to go spend 6 months in Australia, and it's just going to be great. And I've got it all penciled out. I'm going to have these roommates that are just awesome. They're going to pay me $4,000 a month to take care of my dog, and it's like this is awesome. And then it's not."
That's not.
You end up dying.
How different would it have been if Nancy had just been like, you know what? I'm rich. So what? I'm going to stay in Australia and have a great time and not fucking worry about it. I'll deal with it when I get home.
I think a lot of people can't do
that. I should be a therapist. Look at that.
No, but I'm saying like, you know, it's weird. It's like.
I don't know. When you feel like you're being hustled.
People obsess.
Yeah.
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 She couldn't enjoy herself.
That's too bad.
You know?
That's too bad. All right. Well, I got to go eat dinner. But I enjoyed this. I love when it's episodes that I knew nothing about. Not that I know everything about murder, but I had never even heard of it. So this was fun and really sad also. But I'm glad the bad guy got arrested and that there's a cloud of suspicion over these other two alleged co-conspirators in the murder of Nancy Pfister. So hopefully, you know, more justice is coming down the pipe. Anyway, well done. Thank you. If you enjoyed the episode, please go over to Apple and give us a review, rate it, maybe share it with your friends, leave a comment. All that stuff really helps. And please, please consider supporting the great companies that support our show. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Carolyn, anything you'd like to add?
Nope. I am Carolyn Osorio with the great Brandon Morgan, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Until then, stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.
From Cloud 10, Criminal Mischief is a pie-in-the-sky production recorded in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We're produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.